Mishmar Parshas Vayeshev.
Yeah, there are certain stories that happen in the Chumash that they don't tell you about in Cheder. Now, it's not just their idea not to tell you about it. They actually, the Mishnah speaks about how it's a little too complicated. It's not so easy for people to really wrap their head around exactly what happened. But when you're older, so hopefully we'll be able to deal with it in a mature way. Something happened over here in this week's Parsha with Yehuda. Yehuda had three sons, Er, Oinon, and Shelah. Those were his three sons. Now, his first son named Er married a fine young lady named Tamar. Tamar is a wonderful woman. And Tamar remained a wonderful woman throughout this entire story. And that's why there are girls that are walking around today with the name Tamar. So what happened? Er, apparently his behavior was not considered to be that upstanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Er. The Pasuk says, Vayi Er Bechor Yehuda Ra Ve'enei Hashem Vayimiseu Hashem. Hashem killed him. Vayom Yehuda the Oinon. Yehuda told his next son, Baal Eishes Achicha, I want you to now take in your brother's wife, V'yabeim Oisa. Do Yibum. Yibum is, which is Lahakim Zera La'achicha. The Pasuk says that you should, your brother's, his name should carry on. So they want you to marry Tamar. So now Oinon, knowing that the child is not going to be his, was not so excited about his wife getting pregnant, and he also didn't act so appropriately. The Pasuk says, Vayera Be'ena Hashem Asher Asa, Vayomes Gam Oisa. He also died. Now Yehuda's lost both of his sons, Er and Oinon. So what happens? There's a third son, Shelah. Tamar's waiting for the third son. And Yehuda says, I don't think, not so fast. Vayomer Yehuda l'Tamar kalasai. Shvi almana beis avich. Go back to your father's house. Ad sheyigdal Shelah b'ni. Until my son gets older. Not now. Not so fast. Wait until my son gets older. Ki Omar, because he said, I would assume to himself, Penyamus gamhu ke'achiv. Maybe he's also going to die. This woman, she's killed her first husband. She killed her second husband. She might kill her third husband. There's a term for this in the Gemara. The term for this type of woman is she's called a katlonis. A katlonis is a woman that kills her husbands. Not necessarily does that mean she physically kills them, but we're afraid that the marriage is causing whoever she's married to expire. So therefore, he's afraid he loses his third son. So he says, "Pen almost gam hu keachiv." Therefore, it sounds like in the pasuk, he's kind of like just pushing her off. He's like, "Just wait until Shelah gets older. Like, we're not doing this right now." But really, he was worried about it. So if the sefer Chavetzelus Hashorin, he says he wasn't really just pushing her off. He was saying like this: "Say the ma'isa this isha is din katlonis." A katlanis is a danger. So if there's a danger, can I let my third son marry her if it's a danger? No. But if he's doing a mitzvah siyibom, we have a klal. A shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. You're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry. It's a mitzvah. So therefore, as long as he's doing a mitzvah, then I'll be okay with him marrying her. So he brings the Rambam. It says the Rambam in Tshuvas is matir liyabin es hakatlonis. Yeah, it says the shalav. It's a yeah. I don't know exactly how big. Show me a mitzvah liyadu davara. That's what he brings down. The Rosh, the Rambam. He says like this. Shelah is a katan. Can a katan do mitzvah yibo? No. So for Shelah to marry her now that he's a katan, that he can't do. Why? Because she's a katlanis. And over here, it's a danger. Wait until my son gets older. When he gets older, then he will be able to do mitzvah zibum. And then it's not a danger anymore. And then he can marry you because Shemir mitzvah, leyeda davara. Says the Chavetzelus Hashorin, maybe that's what his plan was. But Lamaisa didn't happen. And Shelah was already older. And Tamar saw that. So what did she do? Tamar did something which on the surface looks very sketchy. She did was, she disguised herself. She went out to the middle of the street and she, for lack of better words, she in a certain way seduced Yehuda, her father-in-law. Now this is very complicated because she clearly knew she had some sort of Ruach HaKodesh, that she was going to have a child from this family, and that it was an important thing, so she took matters into her own hands. This is not a regular story. And it definitely looks very murky on the surface, but that's what happens. And we see these types of stories happening over and over again. It's a similar type of story that happened with Yishai and David HaMelech. It's a similar type of story with Rus and Boaz. There's all these, like, it looks like, it's not like Immaculate Conception going on over here, that's for sure. This is very, very ugly. And Reb David spoke about it on Shabbos, Reb David Kohen Shlita, Moira Verebi. He said, he's really quoting from an Al-Sheikh, the Al-Sheikh HaKotan says, when you want Mashiach to come, you need Mamish, all the koichos of Kedusha in the entire world, you need the Yetzirah to like give over a little bit also. So you gotta like throw him a bone. So you make it look a little, it looks a little, or every time you get to Mashiach, it's a little, looks a little sketchy. Every story of Mashiach started with Leah, it's not so clear what happened. Yud and Tamar, it's not so clear what happened. Yishai and David, Ruth and Boaz, they're all the same thing. It's all Mashiach going straight down. Mashiach is always, you got to throw the Yetzirah bone. Anyway, this is what happened. So she went, she disguised herself. She will use the word seduced her father-in-law. Now, as far as the father-in-law is concerned, she's still waiting there back in her father's house, like a good Beis Yaakov girl, waiting for Shelah. But look what happens. All of a sudden, he finds out she's pregnant. How in the world did she become pregnant? She must have been Mizana. And the Pasuk says, Vayihi, kemishloish chadashim, 3 months later, Vayugad liYehuda leimar zonsa tamar kalasecha, your daughter-in-law was Mizana. How else did she become pregnant? V'gamhine horal esnunim. She's pregnant. She obviously was mezana. V'yomer Yehuda hoitziuha v'tisa reif. Take her out and burn her. Burn her. That's her punishment. Now, that almost happened. And we know the story that Tamar sent back what she had taken from Yehuda in the time of their union. She had taken from him some sort of sim and sent it back to him and hinted to him in a way that, by the way, you're the father of this child. And then he said, Sad Kamimani, and he left it alone. And from there we see that she didn't say straight out, hey, listen, you know, this is from you. She just hinted, because it's Noyech La'adam, La'apil Atzma La'kibsha Na'esh, V'ayal V'pnei Chavir B'Rabim. She was prepared. If Yehuda wasn't going to own up, if Yehuda wasn't going to say Tzadka Mimeni, if Yehuda wasn't going to say that this is, you know, don't punish her, she would have been killed. She would have allowed herself to be burnt alive. So it's better to do that than to embarrass someone else. Okay, this is the story. Now, why burn her? That's an interesting punishment. Hotziuva tisoreif. Why burning? So over here, Rashi says the following thing. Pirish v'zeloshayna. Rashi says, he brings Amar Ephraim Mishum Rabbi Meir, Bitoy shel Shame Hoysa. Who was Tamar? She was the daughter of Shame. Shame, the son of Noach. And Shame was a Kohen. Well, I don't know if that means he was a Kohen as much as he was the Bechar. And the Bechar is going to be Mishar, says Kohen. Lefichach danu bisreifad kan l'shoina, says Rashi. A normal woman that is Mizana, what's her punishment? A regular woman. She gets chenek. She gets murdered. If she commits adultery, she's going to get murdered. She's going to get chenek. But Tamar is a bas koyin. Who is she the daughter of? Shame. Shame at a din of a koyin. Therefore, says Rashi, she's going to get sreifa. Her punishment is sreifa for adultery. What?
Because
she's a bas koyin. It's a good question. It's a good point. She's a bas koyin. You see that bas koyin is not because she has her own kuna. It must be because she's the bas koyin. A bas koyin is not because she's a kohenis. She's a bas koyin. What? Yeah, he's called. Yeah, I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know how. Rabbi Buckler. How, somehow he was Masharis, yeah. Okay. Frek the Ramban a question. Boy said, let's get down to the business. The Ramban says, I don't understand the kasha. I don't understand the pshat. Rashi says you're getting straight because she's a Vas Kohen. But says the Ramban, a Bas Kohen only gets Sreifa if she's married. She wasn't married. Her husband's dead. Heir's dead. Oinon's dead. She never married Sheila. So she's a Bas Kohen, maybe. That could be. But she's definitely not she's not an Asua. She's not an Arusa. She's what's called Shemeres Yavam. Maybe she's waiting for Yibum. But that's not how does she become Chayv Misa for that? The only time you chayv misa is for adultery. This is not adultery. Azay frekter Ramban Akasha. And he says that it can't be that. That's the reason why she gets punished. So the other mefarshim of why she's getting straight for not because of this, but the chayrash, she's a pella. Comes the Pnei Yeshua and he says a bomb chiddush. Says the Pnei Yeshua the following thing. He says, why is it that when a husband dies, a woman becomes mutter? Why? You could say, well, husband's dead. She doesn't have anything to be married to anymore. Says the Pnei Yeshua, it's not true. The Mishnah says, Koines atzma begetu b'misas habal. Misas habal is a matir on their marriage. Just like get is a matir on the marriage. Just get, who does the get? The husband. Misas habal min hashamayim udukam makni lo. The Torah is making this divorce. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's only true when it comes to a Bas Yisrael, to a Kedushin of Yisrael. So over there where there's get, there's going to be Mises Abal. But by Goyim, there is no get. If there's no get, there's no Mises Abal. So even after her husband's dead, she's still married. She's still married. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Pilei Ploim. She's still married. And if she then goes and married and then lives with someone else, she's Chayiv Misa. This is Pilei Ploim. I want to read it to you inside, Rabbi. So you have to digest this. It's mamish. It's listen. You have to digest, Rabbi. You have to digest this, Rabbi. Here goes. You have to digest this. Ein Misas Habal Materes Bibnei Noyach. Misas Habal is not Matir by Ben Noyach. Digzeres Hakosiv Ein Ela BiYisrael. I will be Ben Noyach. Ika Itzer Eishes Ish Af Acher Misas Habal. Even after the husband's dead, she's still married to him. She's still married. Is she allowed to marry someone else? Her husband's dead? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? No!
Then she's not a Bas Kohen anymore.
She's Jewish? Or she still doesn't have to be married?
If she's married, then
she's not a Bas Kohen anymore.
What?
But this rule doesn't apply. They both have to be Goyish?
That's to be the Goyish of marriage.
That means they both have to be Goyish. See, Yid marries a Goy. But Bas Yisrael marries a Goy.
So even by
Gaia, it's a marriage. I don't know. Is that everything a Gaia marriage? What? What do you mean? It's Ishus. It's Ishus. It's not condition. It's Ishus. Yeah, Ishus. It's Ishus.
Rabbi.
This is the Pnei Yeshua's massive chiddush. Let's get it clear. Hold on. Let's get it clear. I want to say it again. I want the Eilim to process this. Ishus by a guy is not over when he dies. They are still married. He's dead and they're married. Who's she married to? A dead man. And if she now goes and has relations with someone else, she's an Ashes Ish and we murder her. A Bas Kohen is a Bas Kohen, whether she's married or not married. She's a daughter of a Kohen. When she's married, she's a daughter. She can't eat Truma, but she's still considered to be the daughter of a Kohen. Always. Forever. Forever. What? Why not? We're going to do it. The Pnei Yeshua is mavhil. It is stunning. It's a stunning Pnei Yeshua. We actually quoted it in Shir, because one would think that what happens is that when your husband's not alive anymore, so you're just not married because there's no one to be married to. So what Rabbi Chanan speaks about is, for example, what about Eishes Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi never died, but he's not here. He's not in this world anymore. He just morphed into being something in Shemayim. So is she allowed to marry someone? She doesn't have a husband. My husband's gone. So can I marry someone? If you say Misa is a matir, Misa, and that matir only works for Yisrael, doesn't work for a guy, so you need a Misa. There's no Misa, it's not matir. You say, look, I need someone to be married to, I'm not married because there's no one here, then maybe she'd be mutter. So this is a discussion that comes also for Bas Yisrael, but for a guy, says Rabbi Chana, says the Pnei Yeshua, that the Misa is not matir, and she's an Eishes Ish. Now we have two major kashas. One kasha is asked from the Sefer Eish Tamid, Reb Shlomo Sinemin. The other kasha, bomb kasha, from the Minchas Chinuch. And I'd like to try to answer both of them, lefi anias daiti. Frekta Eish Tamid a question. Hold on a second. She married Er. Er died. And then what did she do? She married Einan. Who told her to marry Einan? Yehuda. She married Er. Er died. Is she still married to Er?
Yeah.
According to the Pnei Yeshua? Yeah. According to Yehuda?
No.
Yes! If she's still married to Er, what is she going to Einan for?
Not according to Yehuda, according to Pnei Yeshua.
No, according to Yehuda, that's why I'm giving you a straight book. You see the Pnei Yeshua? How does the Pnei Yeshua understand? Why is she going to Einan? Not doing a sheish pokaris, it's for Misa. Rabbi Isai, this question, the Eish Tamid asked the question. I'm going to show you the Pnei Yeshua is right. Heich Amar Yehuda Lo'inan Liyabe Moisa, Ach Shemes Er. Question number one. The Minchas Chinuch has a very piercing question on the Pnei Yeshua. It's the following thing. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I don't get it. The Rambam says Goyim don't have gerushin. They don't have get. So how do Goyim like get unmarried? What, they're married forever?
They're married in the first place.
He says, no. They split. Says the Rambam, they split. The Rambam says, Me'ema satiye ishes chaver ki gerusha shalanu. When is a goyisha person's wife going to be like our gerusha? Kishi yoytziu mi beisoy, when they just leave the house. Says the Rambam, Kol zman sheyirtze hu, oy hi, lifroish zemi ze porshin. He wants to leave, he leaves. She wants to leave, she leaves. When it comes to our dinum of gerushin, who has to make the get? The husband. But by the goyim, either one of them just packs the bags and walks out, and they are no longer married.
How do you marry
Bechol? A good question. How do they get married? That's Ishus. Yeah, we'll call that Ishus. They live together. How do they get unmarried? They separate. That's marriage, unmarriage. Frektim in Chaschinach. I don't get it. You tell me they're married forever. Why? Because her husband's dead. She just walk over to the grave and say, bye, and then leave.
Dying is leaving the house. That should be legal.
She leaves, right? She just leaves the house. What do you mean? I don't know how we're weaving these two together. I don't know how that happens. But we're making it live. I don't know.
You still have you from Yehuda's side of the
family. We have two kashas on the Pnei Yeshua. Question number one is, if she's still married to Er, what in the world is Yehuda telling her to go marry Einan? Question number two is that if you're telling me that the way to separate is just leave, so when the husband's dead, just leave, and you left. So one teretz, the Sefer Chavetz Hasholem tries to suggest, he says the following thing, you can't leave a dead man. You can't leave. You can't quit. It's like you're fired. I quit. You can't do that anymore, right? So already he's dead. It's too late. You can't leave. That's what he suggests. Okay, I hear. Could be
both of them. The husband left the marriage.
What?
One of them.
Okay. Yeah.
Why give a dead person? I'm leaving now.
You don't have to leave.
Dead man left.
You can't leave anymore.
He was one of the marriage.
He didn't leave the marriage. He just died.
I'm holding. Never come back.
Okay, Rabbi Isai, I would like to say a Teretz. I would like to say a Teretz. What? But there's no one to leave from anymore. There's no.
But you're still married.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. I'd like to say another teretz, Rabbi Isai. Different teretz. The fi anias daiti. Perhaps you can just suggest as follows. I'd like to answer all the questions with this following insight. Let's understand what yibum is. What is yibum? Is yibum a new relationship that we're starting? That she was married to the brother. Now she's going to marry the other brother. Tosfos and Rashi seem to both say that the idea of Zguka Voimedis is you're being Goymer Kiddushei Rishon. So what are you doing? You're picking up the pieces of the first one. Perhaps. Over here. What was Yehuda telling Oinon? Er married her. And maybe she's still an Eish HaSish to Er. But is she going to have children from Er? No. So Oinon should continue that Ishus. Usually the Ishus is like very weak because he's dead. And the Ishus D'Araisa, Ishus of a man, of a Yid, I mean, basically goes away. All that's left is just some Zika. But by a guy, there's a full Ishus over here. Take over the Ishus of Er. And you become the complete heir of Er's Ishus in a Hanami. He wasn't doing a new Yibum is not a new relationship. So the fact is that she's an Ishus Ish. Doesn't make a difference. What's gonna be Hakim Zera La'achiv? The answer is the Ishus. Rashi and Tosfos both say it's not a Nukinya. They both say it's Goymeres Kiddushei Rishon. What? Okay, I don't know how to answer that question, but that's. Let's finish this off. I would like to suggest the Chiddush.
First of all, Ayin was never Makabish to tell that.
He was married to her. Oh, so that's what he says.
But
he thought that they were married. That's what you. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. That's the answer. He realized at the end, oh, they're never really married. They're never really married. So therefore, she's not Chai Misa because that's what.
Because there's no Garbia. She never.
Yeah, but he didn't know that.
That's not true. The first one who said there's a difference between.
She was married to Er.
Could be.
Er is married. He must be.
Maybe yes. Maybe not. Maybe not. No. Maybe not. It depends. It's the derice. It depends a guy or a yid, a guy, whatever. The Pnei Yeshua talks about that whole thing, whether she was married or not. Akitzur, Rabbi Isai, I'd like to suggest the following thing. To answer the question of Minchas Chinuch, perhaps you can say the following thing. Maybe Eino Chanami. You want to walk away from your dead husband? You can. If you want, you can. And you'll be divorced. And that's fine. But she didn't. She didn't walk away. She's been waiting the whole time. And she put back on her big deal manusa. She's saying, I'm waiting for Shayla. What does that mean? My husband's issues are still here. I'm waiting for someone to pick up the issues. I'm still married. She's saying, I'm still faithful to him. And then she's Mizaneh. What? It doesn't make a difference. She could have said, I'm out of here, buddy. I'm gone. I want to move on with my life. She said, I want to marry Shayla. Yehuda says, wait. Not yet. You have to wait. Okay, I'll wait. I'm waiting. The Kedusha, the Ishus is still there. No. She went after Yehuda because Yehuda was doing the Yibum. Yehuda's doing the Yibum. So she was still in that Ishus. Anyway, Yehuda doesn't know about that. A kid said, my point is like this. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that she's Masada, but she still wants to be married.
But how is Yehuda doing right?
He didn't know about it. He didn't have.
How is he allowed to do what he did?
He didn't have Bechira. It's all. All different. He didn't have Bechira. He didn't know. Rabbi, in summary, what I'd like to suggest is as follows. The Pnei Yeshua is saying, a massive chiddush, says the Pnei Yeshua, once you're married, so then you stay married even after you die. Does that mean you can't divorce afterwards? Maybe she can. She can walk away if she wants to. But Tamar didn't walk away. Tamar was staying there. How is it that Oynan was going to take on after Er is married? Once you married the Er, how do you get Oynan? The answer is Yibum. That's what Yibum does. Yibum takes on the Kedusha Rishon, the issues of the Rishon. So I'm supposed to take over. You left off. You don't have any kids, so I'm taking over your Kedushin. Once Oynan did that and it didn't work, she was waiting for someone else to take over the Ishus, but she's still an Ishus Ish. If she would take off her big day Almanusa, which means she would say, you know what, I'm moving on with my life, I don't want anything to do with this family anymore, I'm done. She says she's finished with that Ishus and a Hanami. Maybe that's like a Gerushin, and therefore she can marry someone else. So Alech
Lemaisa. She is
Chayav Misa. She was only, she would have only been Chayav Misa because we're assuming that she was still there with Yehuda, with in the family. Why was she not Chayav Misa? You could say one of two reasons. Either because it was Yibum, it was Yehuda. Maybe she was never really married.
Why is Yehuda in the chain?
She was never really married. She shouldn't have done that.
Why is Yehuda in the chain?
That's the chiddush that that a father can also do Yibum.
Father could also.
The flame out in time.
Right.
Gershon, what do you say? I can't hear you.
Wants to know. Not what I was going to say. Wants to know why Yehuda was angry. So she walked out of the relationship.
She walked out. She got
she didn't. She didn't. She kept on her clothing.
Yeah, but that means to her,
No. There's a very big difference between a person that gets into a fight and walks out of the house and comes back than someone who says, I'm done with you. She's not saying I'm done with you. She had, in Yehuda's mind, she had a weak moment. That Ena Hanami, she was Mizaneh. But if she said, listen, I'm out of here, she's coming back. She can't, she's still in the house over here. She's still waiting for Shayla. She said, Shayla, I'm still waiting for you. You're waiting for me. You're pregnant. What? Ena Hanami. And she stayed there. And even though she was pregnant, she didn't leave. So let me ask you a question. I'll ask you a question, okay, Gershi? This is the question for you. Can a goyish woman ever be Mizana? How? Every time she does, she's leaving. Because she's not leaving. That's not called leaving. Leaving is, I'm done with you. Leaving doesn't mean that right now I'm going to do something that's inappropriate. She doesn't want out of the marriage. She wants to be married and she wants to cheat. Cheating is not out of the marriage. That's cheating. So Yehuda said, you cheated. Cheated? Chayav Misa. So she should have been Chayav Misa. The only reason not is either because Yehuda was really a Maisa of Yibum. That was also a form of Yibum. What?
Lidas.
So we say that she was Niskaven for it. That's enough. And Yibum doesn't need Das. Or maybe because, as Yaakov said, maybe they were never really married. Because Er never really did a complete Kedushin. Because Er, that's what Er did wrong. So maybe she wasn't even married in the first place. She was never Nesh Ish. And you'd only realize that because Yehuda himself ended up living with her and said, hey, no one ever lived with this woman before.
Said yesterday.
If was a Mesula, that's it, Rabbi Isai. Thank you very much for listening.
Wow. You said yesterday that Yibum could even be Beshugge. We had on the Marble Kremis.
Right.
How did she cheat if she wasn't really living with anyone at the time? She sent the youngest son away because he was too young. Yehuda sent the youngest son away. She wasn't living with anyone at the time.
Because the Pnei Yeshua says even if your husband's dead, you're still married. So she's married even though she's not living in his house.
And also another thing, when she was